I want to congratulate all the mothers in service tonight. And man, I especially want to congratulate Sister Kevin for having to raise Ryan, Brother Ryan back there. The Lord's going to give you a crown of righteousness one day, Sister Kevin, and a crown of suffering for raising my little brother back there. But kidding, man. Oh, man. How many of you had a tough mom growing up? Raise your hand. You had a tough mom. Brother Javen, I know you had a tough mom, man, from the east side of the Bronx. Huh? Your mom was tough, wasn't she? That's right, brother, man. You had a tough mom, Brother DJ, tough mom? All right. Yeah, really tough, yeah. How about Brother Cypher, you had a tough mom? That Pittsburgh mom, huh, brother? Six brothers. Oh, man. Woo, all right, man. She's the warden out of jail, huh? Your mom was tough, brother. But, man, I had a tough mom, Brother Faustina. She's a nurse, so I can say whatever I want, Brother Marlon. She ain't going to find out about this because you won't tell her, right? Okay, but I had a tough mom, man, and I had a friend. His name is Cliff Bonner, and Cliff, man, he's a security guard in a jail in Susanville. And one of the questions on his survey there, he's wanted to join the police department. He's a police recruit. One of the questions was, you know, what would you do if you had to arrest your mother? What would you do if you had to arrest your mother? To which he answered, I call for backup. You see what I'm saying? I called for backup. You see what I'm saying? Because, man, you know, you never know. Mom might take out a shank out of her ankle, you know, and you don't know, man. Moms are crazy. But, man, if you appreciate those tough moms, those tough love moms, man, it's good. And I had just an incredible time, Brother Zach, in Spanish Church this morning. And I appreciate the liberty that Pastor gives me just to kind of lead the people with his heart, obviously, but also some liberty there. And God has expanded that ministry, and it's to the glory of God, man. God has been so good to us. And you know, prior to coming into ministry here, Brother Marlon, I never had baptized anybody, Pastor. I don't know if you knew that. I mean, you're hiring a guy to be your assistant pastor, and I've never baptized anybody. So, man, when I went up there, I was so scared to death the first time I baptized someone. I was like, oh, man, I don't know how to do this. And now God's given the privilege to baptize approximately about 20 people in the last year. And, man, it's such a joy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, man. It really is. And Mrs. McMaines, you were a tough mom. That's right. You had to be, didn't you? You had to be, but that's good. But, man, it's such a joy to serve Jesus Christ, man. It really is. And thank you for praying for our ministry. Please continue to keep us in your prayers. We're simply trying to exalt Jesus Christ and see him work through the lives of the Spanish people in the Orange County area. I want you to take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to take it to Mark chapter number 1. And I want you to keep it open there. We're going to be going through the story, and it's good to see Mrs. Armstrong tonight, and nice to see you, Sister Armstrong. And it's a privilege to work with Jennifer. She does a tremendous job, and the privilege to work with her, man. And she's always on top of it, you know. Spanish bulletins and Spanish announcements, and then today she organized the parent baby dedication. I mean, she just does it all, man, and she makes, I mean, it's just smooth sailing, and just a joy, man, and you don't get to meet somebody like that, you know, without direct credit to their mother, you know, and man, that's great, and good to see you tonight. Brother Mark, brownie points for you, my brother, huh, surprising your wife, and Brother DJ, also surprised your wife, right, brother? Hey, you guys get a chance to see that video, Brother DJ, surprising Sister Sarah. You guys see that? Can you pull that up, Brother Ryan? You can't pull that up. That's all right. But here it is, Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. Man, you're not in your game tonight, man. You are off point, brother. Stop watching the basketball game back there, brother. Stop watching that game. Warriors won today, Brother DJ. Happy about that, huh? Pastor, I should get to preaching, huh? I'm sorry about that. Don't dock my pay. I'm about to preach right now, okay? Mark chapter number 1. Look at verses 40 through 45 tonight, please. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. All right. The Bible says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 41, let's read it together. Ready, begin. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. I love that. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. Verse number 43, ready? And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and said unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for the cleansing those stains which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Let's read verse number 45 together. Ready, begin. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, inasmuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. I'll tell you tonight. I believe the Holy Spirit to give me these thoughts, and I want to share them with you tonight. But man, it's an interesting topic tonight, and we see here that Jesus gave a command to a leper. And you would think that he would want him to let everybody know, Brother Chapman, of the miracle that just occurred. But here we see a different type of command. He says, I want you to not tell anybody about this. Don't say anything to anybody, but just go show yourself to the priest and for testimony unto those things. And tonight, I don't know, I've entitled the message. You got it on there, Brother Ryan? The title of the message tonight. Okay, you waking up, Brother Ryan? There it is. It's seriously. And yeah, Brother Scott made the slide, so he thought it would be cute to make it a black man with his face over his face. So. You pray for me as I work with these bunch of races. But all right, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, thank you so much for the privilege you give me, Lord, to preach the word of God. And thank you, Lord, for just the congregation that you allow me to be part of, God. I don't deserve to be part of this beautiful church, God. And they love you, and they genuinely seek after you. And Lord, you're doing wonderful things here at this place, God. I ask that you would continue, Lord, to allow the blessing to flow. Please continue to use us, God, to reach this corner of the world for Jesus Christ. I appreciate it so much, God. Thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to preach. I ask that you'd use me, God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, now I want you to be honest with me tonight, okay? And if you're not, when that's between you and the Lord, that's fine. How many of you are good at keeping a secret? Would you raise your hand if you're good at keeping a secret? Raise your hand. Okay, you can lower your hand. All right, how many of you are not good at keeping secrets? Just raise your hand. You're just not good at it. I appreciate the honesty, Brother Todd. Come on now. Have thine own way. Okay, but man, they're good at keeping secrets, man, you know. And I'll tell you, our third child is Israel, and my wife got the funny idea. I think she got it on Pinterest or TLC. I don't know where she got this idea, man. And she wanted not to know the gender of the child, Pastor. I cannot do that, okay? I'm just telling you, I can't do that. I cannot know what's growing in the oven there. I got to know. You know, I got to know if it's cinnamon rolls. I got to know if it's brownies going on. I got to know if it's, you know, chocolate chip cookies, a little oatmeal mixed in. I got to know what's going on in the stomach right there, okay? You guys can laugh. That's okay. No worries about that. But I got to know what's going on there. I mean, I can't do that. And so when it comes up, Brother Krosky, to about 16 weeks, I think, 16 to 20 weeks, they tell you the gender of the child. She said, okay, we're not going to know. I said, babe, I can't do that. I'm so sorry, man. The curiosity is going to kill me. I just can't do that. He said, okay, well, don't you tell me. So we went to the OB, and the OB told her and told me what the gender was. Of course, you know, Israel, boy. But and then he kind of just showed me, say, you know, you see that right there? That he, you know, he's a boy. And then my wife, I hope that's okay. And then I told my wife, I said, well, babe, I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you. Or I'm not going to tell you. And I made no facial expression. Kept my mouth shut, zero. So for 6 months, about seven months, I kept silent, zero. I didn't drop any hints. She's right here. I didn't drop any hints. Tell my sister. I didn't tell my mother. Nobody knew what we were going to have. 6 months. I mean, it killed me. I mean, it really did. And, you know, baby shower, people dropping off, you know, blue gifts, pink gifts, you know what I mean? Dropping off gift cards. Pink is for girls and blue is for boys, okay? Y'all with me now? Is that still right? Pink is for girls and blue is for boys, all right? Is that okay? All right, good. Pastor wore a pink tie last week, and I have a pink shirt tonight. Anyways, but people are dropping off these different gifts, you know? And for 6 months, I kept that secret, but it came and it just killed me, and it killed me. And listen, I'm not the type of person that's good at keeping secrets, and here Jesus, he tells a leper to keep a secret. And I'm thinking, man, seriously? I mean, Pastor preached 2 weeks ago about those 10 guys out of Mark 10. You remember that? And 10 of them were cleansed, and only one came back and said thank you. And man, the excitement and all that. I mean, could you imagine that? Completely isolated, deserted, I mean, alone. You're not able to be with your family. And then all of a sudden, Brother Wilson, you're healed of this leprosy. And I mean, the excitement just overwhelms you. I mean, like, man, I had leprosy, man. And here's Jesus, and he tells them, Lord, if thou will, thou canst, you know, can make me clean. I know that you have the power to take away this leprosy. And it just killed this man. He does the exact opposite of what Jesus told him not to do. Now, there in Mark, I want to bring you up to speed. Look at verse number 14. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 14. Mark 1:14, the Bible says, now after that John was put in prison, this talking about J.B., John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What did Jesus do in verse number 14? He came in what, church? He came in what? Preaching. He came in preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And look at what it says in verse number 20. Straightway called them and left them, father Zebedee, into the ship and hired servants and went after him. He's getting his team together, calling disciples unto him. And verse number 21, they went into Capernaum, and straightway to the Sabbath he entered to the synagogue. And what did he do? He taught. He taught. So he has a ministry of the word going on. He's preaching. He's teaching. And the Bible says they were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 22, for he taught as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Look at verse 25. This is interesting. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn the man that he was possessed inside, he cried with a loud voice, and he came out of him, and they were all amazed. Verse 27, inasmuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirit? And they do obey him. And immediately, look at verse 28, the Bible says, his what, church? His fame spread abroad throughout all the region of Galilee. And here we see Jesus going to the synagogue, and there's a man possessed with devils, and immediately the devils recognize Jesus, by the way, praise God. They recognize him, man. He's the king, amen? He's the Godchild. He's Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. And when he recognizes, he says, oh, man, you come to destroy him? Oh, Holy One of Israel. And Jesus says, shh, quiet, quiet, man. Hold your peace, hold your peace. They go off the scene, and they head over to Simon's house. Andrew, James, and John, they're all together. The Bible says they go into Simon's wife's mother's house. You see it there in Scripture. I just want to tell you very quickly. Now, he goes into his mother-in-law's house, and what's going on with this mother-in-law? Talk to me, church. She's got what? She's got a fever, man. She's got a fever. If she's my mother-in-law, I just let her just. I'm just kidding. I really have a good mother-in-law, okay? But Brother Mark, what would you have done if that was your mother-in-law, Brother Mark? No, I'm just kidding, I'm just kidding, I'm just kidding. Some Robitussin, brother, a little bit of that. Okay, I got all these, I'm filtering tonight. So here it is. He stretches out his hand, and God heals her. She raises up, she rises up, and she begins to serve them. And here it is. Jesus came preaching the kingdom. Jesus sought to teach the doctrine, okay? Here is his mission. He's preaching, he's teaching. He's setting up his shop. He's calling people to him. They're leaving their nets. They're leaving their families. They're leaving their jobs. And they're going forth with to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, something happens, Brother Krosky. People begin to get maybe a wrong idea about Jesus. They say, man, here's the guy. Hey, here's the guy. Yeah. That's the guy that does the miracles. That's the guy right there, man. He's the one that touches the eyes and makes them see. He's the guy that, you know, he feeds people, man. There he is. There's Jesus. That's who he is. And Jesus wanted to put an emphasis that it wasn't necessarily about the miracles that he was performing. Now, the miracles served to authenticate the ministry and the omnipotence of Jesus Christ. How many of you, just by showing of hands, like Costco? We got Costco fans here tonight. How many of you Sam's Club? You're like, I'm Sam's Club. That's all right, whatever. I like to go to Costco when I can afford to give them my right arm. You know, I like to go to Costco. Costco, man, they got a booth. You know those booths, Brother Mark, man. Good stuff. You walk by, get yourself a little piece of chimichanga. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's right. I grew up in the ghetto, so we do some stuff that's funny sometimes. We get a piece of chimichanga, turn the corner, go down this aisle. Here's the frozen fruit, you know, waffles. There's like 80 in that package for like $15, whatever. And then I make myself around the corner. I'm just kind of sneaking in like, yeah, I'm back in line, you know, just back in line. Give myself a little piece of chimichanga. Now, don't eat it all at once. It's very hot, sir. It's very hot. I don't care. You know, beating it and just eating that thing up, you know. Then I get over here on this line, and, you know, they got, I don't know what they got. They got some salami, you know. They got a little, little meatball going on or something. And I'm all over the place at Costco, man. If I want a free lunch, I just go to Costco, okay? So I show up to Costco, and but the truth is, those things are just small bites, you know. They're not meant to completely satisfy your hunger. They just serve there to authenticate what's on the shelf, just for you to get a little taste so that you can purchase what's on the shelf. And Jesus says, listen, my mission was to preach the word of God. I didn't come to this earth to be some kind of a sideshow. I didn't come to earth to be some type of a carnival. I don't want people thinking that I'm some kind of a parade. I didn't come to necessarily deliver those that are possessed with devils. I'm not coming necessarily to raise people out of a bed of affliction because they got the fever. I'm not here necessarily to touch a leg so they can, you know, be able to walk again and all those things. Now, Jesus did those things, and the reason he did it is because the Bible says he was moved to compassion. Of course Jesus would do those things, but listen, to the end that he would grasp the soul of man, to authenticate his Godhead, to authenticate that he is Jesus Christ and he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Man, that's what Jesus was talking about. You see, many people were seeking his hand, but few people were seeking his heart. And many people were seeking his hand, but few were seeking his heart. And Jesus says that I'm not here necessarily to prove to you with signs and wonders. I'm here to give you salvation and the ministry of the word of God. You see, that's what Jesus' mission was all about. He wanted to give them the word of God. Now, I want you to see verse number 38. Look at verse 38. Mark chapter 1, verse 38. The Bible says, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may do what? Do you see a church? Underline that I may preach. He says, I want to preach there also, for therefore came I forth. You see, Jesus, that's what I want to do. He says, the whole town's coming here. People are coming, the whole town's coming here because they got diverse diseases. They got people that are possessed with devils. They got people with fever. They got all kinds of people. They're just showing up. Hey, guys, listen. There's too much chaos here. Let's pack up and let's go to the next town because I need to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, here we come to the story tonight. I don't want to make it long. And we see, number one, a special deliverance. Do you see that? Well, the Bible says in verse number 40, Mark 1 in verse 40, he says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him. He's respectful, he's reverential, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 41, let's read verse number 41 tonight. Ready, begin. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and what did he do? And saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, you see that? He had spoken. There's power in the word of God. As soon as he had spoken, as soon as Jesus spoke the word, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. He was immediately cleansed as soon as Jesus spoke the word. Now, here it is. This man's excited now, Brother Zach. I got leprosy. I no longer have leprosy, man. It worked. It worked, man. I took some of that Jesus juice, man. I'm talking about that pure stuff. And he purified my body. I mean, I'm different now. Here he is, man. Special deliverance. And I just want to say, just parenthetically right here, don't you thank God that God has given all of us a special deliverance from a place called hell? Thank God that I'm no longer on my way to hell. Thank God that the penalty for my sin was nailed to the cross and Jesus Christ took my place. Jesus Christ suffered the cross. Oh, what a Savior. Thank God he took the spear in his side. Thank God he took the crown of thorns on his head. Thank God he took the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet and the vinegar to drink. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Thank God, because he was forsaken. I'll never be forsaken as a child of God. Thank God he took my place and gave me special deliverance. Yes, he did. Thank God for that. Oh, man, this guy, I don't know if I can fault this guy, Mrs. Thompson. I mean, that's just crazy. Now, here it is. Jesus gave specific details. Number two, look what the Bible says. Verse number 43, if you look at it. He says, and straightly charged him. Now, I would imagine that Jesus kind of gets him close to him, and he probably grabs him on the shoulders like a coach would his player. He says, listen, I'm going to give you an order right now. Look at me. You looking at me, leper? You looking at me? Man, you just got healed. I know it's crazy. It's wild. You're excited. And here's what he says. He tells him three things. Number one, he says, see thou say nothing to any man. Do you see that, church? See thou say nothing to any man. Seriously? What? I mean, if I'm this guy, I'm thinking, whoa. You don't want me to say anything? He says, nothing. I mean, can I tell? Nothing. What about Bill at the barbershop? Nothing. I can't say anything to anybody. I mean, they can't put it on Facebook. No. You cannot say anything to anybody. Two, look at what he says. He says, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest. He says, listen, I don't want you to tell anybody. I want you to leave this spot and immediately go show yourself to the priest. We don't have time to get into that, but in Leviticus, you'll find the specific details about that. The priest would give clearance. Then he can go home, live freely amongst anybody. He's not unclean. No. He's free from his leprosy. He says, listen, I got specific details for you, and I need you to obey these instructions. You say, Jesus, they don't make any sense. Jesus, how can I go about my life and not tell anybody? How do you expect me not to tell anybody? How do you expect me to hold this sin? I can't keep this secret. Seriously? You got specific details. And Jesus says, go your way. Don't tell anybody. And thirdly, he says, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded. He's got three things for him. And here he is. Now, you would think that he would obey this. But no, he doesn't. A very familiar verse tonight. Hold your place in Mark 1 and go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3, please. Hold your place in Mark 1, please. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. See, Jesus gives specific details. Proverbs chapter number 3. Here's what he says. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God. Now let's read verse number 5 together, church family. Ready? Begin. Trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now, if you're this cat that got healed from the leprosy, and you're thinking, man, he doesn't want me to tell anybody. He wants me to immediately go and show myself to the priest and take an offering for a testimony unto these things. And you're thinking and you're reasoning in your mind, and you're thinking, no, man. I mean, how does he expect me to keep the instructions? How do you expect me to keep these details? And as Christians, we must be careful. God says, listen, do not lean unto your own understanding. And this becomes more harder and more difficult as we continue to grow in grace. And listen, I've been in church for, 24 years of my life, and it becomes easy for me to lean on my own understanding. It becomes easy for me to lean on my past experiences. It becomes easy for me to kind of just wiggle around that grace area and trying to maybe fabricate what I think is the right way, but my heart is desperately wicked above all measure. Who can know my heart? And Brother Javen, the only one that knows my heart tonight is Jesus Christ, is God Almighty. And every day, by the grace of God, I want to kneel down and tell the Lord, search me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me. Search me, God. Search my mind. Search my attitude. Search my motives. Search my wants. Search my desires. Search my dreams. God, please straighten something out if it's not right. Right here. Hey, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, if this leper had trusted God, he had no problems. And some people will say, well, man, I think I would have done the same thing. I don't know. But Jesus charged him rigorously, straightway, looked at him in the eye and said, listen, boy, don't you tell anybody what I just did. Don't tell anybody. Go straight, right away, go to the priest and bring an offering according to Moses. You know Moses? Yes, sir. See, I find that we ignore the specific details. We ignore the specific details that God so clearly paints in Scripture. What do you mean, Sammy? Well, how about when God speaks to you when pastor preaches? How about when God says, listen, touch you on the shoulder, that's for you. That's for you. That's for you. That's for you. How about in your prayer life when the Holy Spirit says, hey, you know what I'm talking about. That specific detail. How about that unforgiven? How about that unforgiven spirit when you got something in ought against a brother or sister? I don't know. Maybe in a crowd this size, there's somebody that perhaps need to get a forgiveness issue right. I don't know. But listen, what about that specific detail that God so clearly speaks to us about? I mean, come on, God, seriously? Seriously? You want me to tell? Don't tell anybody. Really? Don't tell anybody. You want to go directly to the priest and offer an offering? Yeah, that's exactly what I want you to do. Now, number three, and we're almost done. I see here, of course, facetiously, I would say number three, spiritual disobedience. Look what the Bible says in verse number 45. Right there in Mark, find your places again. Mark chapter number 1, verse number 45. The Bible says, but he went out. Listen to what the Bible says. But he went out and began to do what, church? Publish. He began to publish it. Not only did he publish it, but the Bible says he began to blaze abroad the matter. Inasmuch that Jesus could no longer do what, church? More openly enter the city, but was without in the desert places. And still, they came to him from every quarter. It's not that bad. You see, if we're not careful, we can become experts in always trying to offer a verse for the reasons we do what we do. You offer a verse for the reasons that you do what you do doesn't mean that it's scriptural. Doesn't mean that if I offer you a verse when I did, it doesn't mean that it's scriptural. Every one of us can take the scriptures out of context and say, hey, this is what I do. This is what I do. Become very good at spiritually justifying ourselves. Am I the only one here tonight? Am I preaching to myself tonight? I mean, become very good at this, spiritually trying to justify our actions. Be careful about telling somebody or expressing yourself, well, let me pray about this situation, when it's not a matter of prayer, it's a matter of obedience. I'm going to pray about this situation. We sound very spiritual. I'm going to pray about this situation. I'm just going to make it a matter of prayer. Make it a matter of prayer, preacher. I'm thinking, make it a matter of prayer, sister. Hey, brother, let me pray about that. And God said, well, that's not a matter of prayer. It's a matter of obedience, church. God clearly commands in scripture different topics and different ideas. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is applying this to your heart tonight, but if we're not careful, we get very good at this. Go to Leviticus chapter number 10, and we'll look at this. Leviticus chapter number 10. Leviticus chapter number 10. And we'll look at one more scripture, then we'll wrap it up tonight. And I'm going to chill pistachios after the service. That's where I'm going. It's a little spot over there on Quail Hill. Have a little gelato, a little frozen yogurt. Come on now. Leviticus chapter number 10, verses 1 through 3. Leviticus chapter number 10, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says in Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 3. Verse number 1, the Bible says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered, what does the Bible say, church, right there? Offered what? A strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Aaron's boys said, wait, listen, dad's a priest. We can be priests too. Lord's going to be pleased with this offering, right? Lord, hey, we're just going to sacrifice to the Lord. We're going to flippantly do this thing and without thinking about the consequences. Hey, Nadab, about you guys, you want to do this, Nadab? I don't know about who you want to do this about who. Yeah, that's fine, man. Let's put a little fire in there. And that very fire consumed them because they offered strange fire before the Lord. They were doing a good thing outside of the will of God. Wasn't God's will for them to offer sacrifice. Wasn't God's will for them to offer these incense. Wasn't God's will, and that very fire consumed them. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, I'll just quote it to you tonight. 1 Samuel 15, you know what's going on in 1 Samuel 15. God gave the commandment to King Saul. What did God command King Saul to do? To go and kill all the Amalekites. Who's the king of the Amalekites? Agag. He says, I want you to kill everything. Don't save anybody. I mean, even little babies, infants, kill all the Amalekites. Well, you know the story. Samuel gets word that Saul's doing his own thing. Samuel shows up after he prayed to the Lord all night. By the way, when those who you love grieve you, you ought to spend some time praying for them. Oh, yeah. Samuel shows up, and Saul says, I've done that which the Lord hath commanded. Samuel scratches his head. He says, well, what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep then? And then Saul begins to excuse. Well, the people wanted to please the people. And the people wanted. And the people. We kept the best of the things. And that's okay, right, Samuel? We kept the best things. And even the king, we got him, man. He can be, you know, an advisor, you know, to the king, to me. And he's already got experience. He says, man, the Lord, you have rejected the Lord. And because you rejected the Lord has now rejected you. And then a famous verse. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He says, listen, Saul, time out, stop. You sacrifice, you're working hard, you're keeping the best things, but you did it wrong, Saul. You have disobeyed the voice of the Lord. Obedience. Obedience, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to God is better than sacrifice. Obedience to the word of God is better than sacrifice. Being tender to the Holy Spirit, to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, is better than sacrifice. Let's not make the mistake of thinking if we sacrifice for God, if we work for God, then maybe God will be pleased. And God says, listen, first and foremost, I want a people who is consecrated in obedience according to my word. That's what God says. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now wrap up the story. Here's this cat, goes all over the place, messed up Jesus' kind of ministry there. Jesus can no longer openly go in because the crowd thronged him. Like, there he is. Of course, he couldn't help it. He's Jesus. Praise God. The fame was spread abroad all the land. But can I just tell you tonight, that is not the command that God has for us today. God no longer shows up and says, hey, I've done a tremendous work in your life. Don't tell anybody. God no longer shows up today and says, hey, I don't want you to tell anybody, Brother Todd, what I've done for you. God doesn't show up today and says, hey, Brother Anderson, I don't want you to tell anybody what I've done for you. God doesn't show up and say, Brother Powers, I don't want you to tell anybody what I've done for you. He doesn't say, that Martinez family, I don't want you to tell anybody what I've done for you. Hey, that church family, I don't want you to tell anybody what I've done for you. He doesn't show up on my doorstep and say, hey, I don't want you to tell anybody what I have done for you. No, the opposite is true. He tells us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He wants us to preach in Jerusalem. He wants us to preach in Judea. He wants us to preach in Samaria. And he wants us to preach to the uttermost parts of the world. And church, tonight we have the opportunity to say, God, I want to spread the fame abroad of Jesus Christ. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He still does. He'll make of you something new. He'll cleanse the sin at once. The Holy Spirit whispers, no more must you be enslaved. Just believe it. Jesus saves. Yes, Jesus saves. You see, tonight, we can tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Oh, about Jesus. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about tonight, but I find myself in this story far too often. I'm quick to justify certain sins in my life. I'm being transparent. I'm quick to justify certain attitudes in my life. I'm quick to justify, and I'm thinking, Lord, that ain't where you want me to live, God. That's not where you want me to live, God. You don't want me to live so close to the edge that I can get so close to fall off. That's not where you want me to live, God. Help me not to lean unto my own understanding. Help me, God, to lean on your word. Help me, God, to lean on your wisdom. Help me, God, to lean on your love and your grace and your mercy, but also on your justice, also on your holiness. God, help me to do this. And God says, seriously? Yes, God, seriously. With every head bowed and every eye closed, thank you for listening to the word of God preached tonight. I do not know when you last made Jesus famous. When did he last come up in casual conversation? When did he last come up in family discussion? When did he last come up in that line of Starbucks or at Ralph's? See, he wants us to tell everybody about him. The specific details about him. Tell him about that special deliverance. He said, I want you to be spiritually disobedient. That's an oxymoron. I don't want you to justify your actions. Why you've not told others about me. Oh, if we would get a tremendous burden to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Maybe you are lukewarm in this area. And I confess tonight, I've been lukewarm so many times. I'm ashamed to admit it. Perhaps you find yourself on Easy Street. And I really thought about that neighbor that's lost. Do you see them in their sin? Do you see them in their drunkenness? Do you see them in their immorality? Do you see them in their gambling? Do you see them in their broken hearts and broken homes? Oh, church, tonight, the reason we exist tonight is to spread the fame abroad about Jesus Christ. All we need is for some to say, this little light of mine, I am going to let it shine. Woo, man. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We all to be actively engaged in telling everybody about Jesus Christ. I know that we're going to have a moment of invitation, but I want you to be honest before the Lord tonight. Just do what God tells you to do, church. This is, of course, easier said than done. But help us, Lord, to do exactly what you want us to do. Maybe he put his finger on something that I did not even preach on tonight. Maybe the Holy Ghost signaled out something that I did not even mention. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost does. I wonder, I don't know if Brother Scott, you're going to sing a song or Miss Hannah's just going to play the piano tonight. Right there, if we could just stand tonight, if you want to just make a decision for the Lord where you're at, or if you want to use the altar, if you need to take a knee. But let's be sensitive to what God spoke to us about tonight. If God was so kind to speak to your heart, would you be kind to speak to him tonight? Yes. I surrender all. I surrender all. What is it tonight? Is there anything between you and Jesus? Whatever's between you and Jesus, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. Maybe you lost your passion for souls. Maybe you used to work on a bus route. Maybe you used to tell people about Jesus. Maybe you were passionate about telling your bosses and your coworkers or your employees or employers about Jesus, but maybe that's faded away. And say, God, rekindle that fire in me again. God, stir up the gift of God in my life and let me spread the fame abroad of what great things God has done for me. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, church, this week, let's actively tell people about Jesus, man. Let's tell everybody about him. Unashamedly telling people about Jesus. Not in a sarcastic way, not in a proud manner, but in humility of mind and heart, considering that we were once lost in sin. Oh, God, empower your church tonight, God, to spread the gospel of the living God. May we have a passion, God. Sometimes, Lord, I think I'm caught up in methods and all that. Lord, it's not about methods. It's about passion, about that message, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord Jesus, to unashamedly speak about you. You ought to come up in casual conversation, God. We ought to give you the glory, Lord. It should be easy to just mention the name Jesus. Something about that name Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for speaking to my heart tonight. And please, God, seal decisions that I've made, Lord, for the cause of Christ tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've done today. Those things we didn't even recognize that you did. We give you the glory and the honor, and we adore you in Jesus' name.